God, wonderful counselor, mighty God. Now I've got a challenge for those of you who are, I'm going to say, under the age of 11. Does anybody think they can lift me up? Anybody under the age of 11 think they can lift me up? You think you can? Do you want to give it a try? No? Not willing to put your money where your mouth is, are you? I don't think you could. Okay, I'll be fair then. Does anybody think that you could have lifted me up when you were aged 4? I don't think you could have. Let's go one step further. Anyone think they could have lifted me up when they were a baby? I think we can see his true colours now. I think we're seeing what's going on here. No. When you're a baby, you're weaker than as you grow older. You're weaker than when you're 10 or 20 or 30 or whatever, aren't you? You can't do much when you're a baby. But here's what makes this so amazing, what God's saying in Isaiah, is this baby who will be born will be called Mighty. I don't know about you, I've never met a mighty baby before. They've got very little strength at all. All they do is sleep and cry and eat, and that's about it. Now, back in those days when Isaiah was writing, the people of Israel were facing enemies, people who might come and attack and defeat them and make them slaves or even much worse. It was a terrifying time to be alive. But God was saying to them, I've got a plan. Trust my plan. I've got a strategy for you. Now that must have sounded very strange to them. My plan is, against all these enemies that you might be really scared of, a baby. I'm going to send a baby. Because people probably would have thought, well, hang on, how's that going to work? Babies can't lead the army. Babies can't pick up swords. They can't fight for us. But here it is, saying that he's going to be mighty God. See, when we talk about the reason Jesus is so special, at the heart of it is that he is God himself coming into this world as a baby. So the question is, who will you trust? That was the question for those people back then. Will you trust God's plan to send this baby, even though that must have sounded a bit strange to them? And this same question for us. Who will you trust when you're worried about things at school, or when you think about next year, 2020, and all the things that you think about might happen next year? Who will you trust when you think about your family and your loved ones and the people you care about the most, and how, when you come to realise again, I'm not in charge of their lives. Things are outside of my control. I can't protect them. I can't really keep them safe. They've got their own lives to live. Who will you trust? God says, trust my strategy. I've sent my son, and he is mighty, mighty God. That's good news for people who realise they're weak, for people who are afraid, people who are nervous about the future, that Jesus has all the power to help you, whatever problem you face. So don't make the mistake of just relying on your own strength. Doing that is like a baby trying to lift an adult up. It's not going to happen, but Jesus has all the power you need for everything you can face in life, and he offers it to you if you'll come and put your trust in him. Well, we're going to have our next Bible reading now. Mary's going to come and read to us from Matthew chapter 2. Thank you, Mary.
Matthew 2, 1 to 6. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in these days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler, who will shepherd my people Israel.
Thank you, Mary. So that Bible reading quotes another Old Testament book, another Old Testament prophet, Micah, saying out of Bethlehem, the place where Jesus is born, a shepherd is going to come. Now, we're going to have another song from our adventure club now. So I know we've got some of our children from adventure club here. They learnt a song with us yesterday morning. They're going to sing that for us now. So you can come up to the front, please, adventure club members.
Yeah, while we're getting the music up, there was something else I wanted the events to do as well. So we'll do this while we do the music. I thought, and apologies, I know I'm going to block one or two of you off here, but so you can see this. I thought we could also do our memory verse from yesterday. How about that? Is that the music?
Yeah.
We've got the music now, haven't we? Let's do our memory verse. Can you all see over here? This is the verse we did yesterday. And I was thinking, if nice and loud, can we read it to show all the grown-ups what we learned yesterday? Are you all ready for us? We're going to start reading here. Ready? Jesus said,
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me
okay, so that's what we learned about. Jesus is the light of the world, and we made stars, and we put that with those few words on there, that Jesus is the light of the world, because that's what we're remembering at Christmas. Okay, shall we have our song now? Okay.
The hope of the world tonight.
thank you to our Adventure Club for coming. Not easy to come and stand at the front and sing for everyone, but thank you to our Adventure Club and everyone who's come and stood at the front and sung for us. Let's think about our next name. We're talking about the King with four names. We're going to go on to the next one now, which is Everlasting Father. Now, you might think to yourself, oh, well, don't we call God the Father? We say God's the Father and Jesus is the Son. So is that what that's talking about? Well, it's not actually here. What this is talking about is back when Isaiah was writing, you would often talk about the King as being your Father. So you'd say, well, the King is the person who like a father, is there to protect us. The King protects us from our enemies. So we call the King our Father. Now, sometimes kings did their job really well. What you would want from a king is just that you could live your life peacefully, get on with things, with your job, with family life, with all things you want to do, and just have a peaceful, quiet life. Because the King was protecting you from all the enemies out there. That's the King's job. It was the King's job to care for the people of the country. But you know, even with the best king in the world, you know what happens to kings when they get old? What happens? Children, what happens to kings when they get old and older and older? What happens to them? They die. Yeah. They die. They grow old. They die. They don't stay the king forever. But God was saying he was going to send a child into the world who would be a king, a father, someone to protect from the enemies, and he would be an everlasting father. He wouldn't die. He wouldn't grow old like that and become powerless and weak. That's good news. Maybe you feel like this morning there are enemies you face. Maybe people, maybe there are actually people you think, they're out to get me. They're making life difficult for me. Maybe it's just other sorts of enemies you face, battles you're struggling with. Do you know there is no enemy that can overpower Jesus? Nothing that is too strong for him, nothing he can't handle. Jesus is the only king who doesn't grow old, weak, and die. They might be thinking, well, hang on, though, isn't the whole point of Christianity, isn't it that Jesus does die? Isn't that the important bit? Yeah, but the difference is when he dies, he rises from the dead. See, for Jesus to prove that he could defeat every last enemy, he must defeat the very worst enemy of all, which is death. Imagine, I suppose it would be a bit like, imagine Liverpool this year, in the Premier League, saying, we think we are the best team, but we're not going to play any other team in the Premier League. We're not going to play any of the best teams in Europe. We're not going to do any of that stuff. We don't need to prove ourselves. We're not playing anyone ever again. We just think we're the best. Well, they need to prove it, don't they? They need to keep on proving they're the best and play the best teams. At the cross, Jesus playing the best team, the enemy, the worst enemy, he showed he could defeat the very worst enemy of all, which is death itself. And he proved he could defeat it by rising from the dead. So Jesus proves that for us, there is no enemy he cannot handle and tackle for us. He's the Father who promises he will care for his children forever and ever. And that's good news for people who come to realise there are things in this world we can't face alone. Problems we can't handle. Struggles we battle with. We need someone who will sort our problems out for us. Do you know our biggest problem is someone... The biggest problem we need to have dealt with is that we need someone to deal with our sins, our wrongdoing, the things we do to God and other people. We need someone who will deal with that problem. We'll think about that a little bit more in a couple of minutes. Now let's sing our next song, which is Away in a Manger. Let's stand and sing Away in a Manger. We're going to pray now. Let's turn to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reason, the occasion that we're here this morning. We thank you that we have this great tradition in our country of celebrating Christmas. And we thank you that it's a time of great happiness and joy. We thank you that we have so many traditions, so many things we like to do, that there's food we like to eat, presents we like to give and receive, decorations we enjoy putting up. Lord, we thank you for so many good things at Christmas time. But we pray that you would help us not to let all the other good things crowd out the very best thing of all, that you sent your son himself to be the wonderful counselor, mighty God, to be the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. We thank you that he has come. Well, those people back in Isaiah's day just had to wait and trust and hope that he would come. We thank you that now we've seen that he has come. We can read all about his life. We can read of his death and his defeat of death when he rose from the dead. And we thank you that the Bible then tells us everything we need to know to be saved, to know the Lord Jesus for ourselves. So we pray that this time for us would be a time of gratefulness and thankfulness for what you've done in sending the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray as well for people who won't have so many of the blessings we have here. Lord, we packed up and sent those shoeboxes a couple of months ago, and we trust and hope they'll have arrived safely in different parts of the world and that they'll bring great happiness to children there. We pray for those who have so much less materially and physically than we do. We pray that they would experience the same joy of knowing the Lord Jesus, knowing that he is enough for us, that he can deal with the deepest needs of our souls. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have sung, those who have read. We thank you for how you've helped us so far in this service, and we pray for the last part as well, for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have our last Bible reading now, which is over to Debbie. Debbie's going to read from Luke 2, verses 8 to 14.
Luke 2, beginning at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Thank you, Debbie. Let's think now about that last name. The king with four names. His last name is Prince of Peace. Now, question for the children again. You put your hand up. It's not a trick question. I don't do many trick questions for you. When you see someone, you walk down the street, you see someone you know, what do you say to them? What do you say, Elijah?
Hello.
You say hello. Thanks. It wasn't a trick question. It really was as easy as that. You say hello, or hi, or what would you say in Welsh? Come on, someone, what do you, go on, we've got an answer at the back. Sorry? Hello.
Hello.
Hello, oh, with a Welsh accent. Okay. Right. There must be another word you say in Welsh.
Carrot.
Shemai. There we go, Shemai. Thank you. That's more. Now, do you know what you'd say if you were walking down the street in Israel 700 years before Jesus came? and you saw someone, do you know what you'd say? You'd say, shalom. And now, do you know, in our language, hello doesn't actually mean anything at all, does it? It really does just mean hello, hi. But to say shalom to someone, what you're actually saying, shalom meant peace. So what you're actually saying to them is, when you're greeting them, you're saying to them, I hope I find you, that things are well with you. I hope that peace is with you. In fact, it meant, I hope that everything in your life is good and peaceful and that you're really satisfied and happy and calm and well. It was this all-encompassing sort of peace. That's what you'd be saying, that's what peace meant. Shalom. And maybe you've had times in your life where you felt like that could describe you. You just felt peaceful. It's what we want at Christmas Day, isn't it? What sort of Christmas Day do you want? One of happiness, peace, joy, satisfaction. It's what all the movies and adverts tell us that we should hope and expect. That picture of bliss, you know, the picture where everyone's gathered around the Christmas tree and presents are being handed out and everyone's laughing and joyful and happy. Or maybe it's the picture you see in the adverts where everyone's sitting at this long table, the wider family's gathered around, the turkey's being cut, everyone's pulling crackers and everyone's laughing at the jokes in the crackers somehow, and everything, you know, the whole of life is just, everything is good in that moment. That's the sort of thing it means when it says, shalom, peace. I wish peace and happiness to you. And that's what we wish for, isn't it? It's what we want. It's what we want in our families, in our communities, in our nation, in our world, in our schools, in our hospitals. We want peace. It's good. And you don't need me to tell you that. It's instinctive, isn't it? We want peace. We long for it. And yet, you also don't need me to tell you that life is so often not like that. Or we get these little fleeting moments, but then it's gone. The present breaks. You realise the batteries have run out already and you didn't buy any spare ones, so that toy, you can't play with it now because the shops aren't open. Unless the roast potatoes get burnt, or the turkey's been overdone and it's really dry. You can have so much excitement about something, a new job, or a relationship, or a friendship, or a hobby, but it doesn't take away the ache inside. It's exciting for a bit, but there's still no lasting peace. Maybe temporary peace, but it doesn't last. And God says there's one place to look for peace. He calls him the Prince of Peace. The one who can give lasting joy, wholeness, satisfaction, health, healing. The Prince of Peace. See, there is one type of peace we need more than any other. It's peace with God, the one who created us. Our relationship with him was broken. Broken by the things we've done. God says it needs to be restored. We need to come back into a relationship with him. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he is the one who makes that possible. And he does it at the most unpeaceful looking event in the whole of history. If you'd have been there 2,000 years ago, standing at the cross, seeing it, it would not have looked anything. You would not use the word peace to describe what was happening there, because you would have seen a man on a cross being whipped and beaten and humiliated, people screaming in his ears and spitting in his face, dying a brutal death. Nothing about that shouts the word peace out when you look at it. But he was bringing peace through that. That's why he came. So Debbie read a couple of minutes ago from Luke 2. Notice that when the angel came and spoke with the shepherds, and then this whole crowd of people start speaking, these worshippers. And did you remember what they said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace on earth. See, there are lots of other momentary times of peace in our lives, and we give thanks for them. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's why he came. That's why we celebrate Christmas. So those are these four names of Jesus. Four names. And we can probably think of other people who are good at some of these things some of the time. People who just often have good advice. You go to them and they just always seem to know the right thing to say. People who are so good at protecting. People who are really strong and mighty. People who are good at peacemaking. They always seem to be able to calm down situations. There are lots of people who are good at some of these things some of the time. God says, here is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he offers those things to you. I guess the question is, this Christmas, do you know what often happens at Christmas time? You unwrap all the presents, and there's usually one or two presents where you say, oh, don't open that, that's for Auntie so-and-so. We'll give it to her in a few days' time when we see her. And it just stays under the Christmas tree, and that means all the children desperately want to unwrap it, and they keep going back to it again and again, and you have to explain it again and again. You know, the danger is that this great gift of Jesus Christ stays there unwrapped, unreceived. That's our biggest danger. So we need to receive that gift, accept it by faith, by putting our trust in Jesus. That's why he came. He's the Prince of Peace, and he offers that peace to all who will trust him. We're going to sing our last carol. We're going to have more of a traditional carol this time. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. And the last verse says, all glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. So we'll stand and sing our last carol together.